Welcome to Sage Health on Call, a program about an integrative systems approach to high-level wellness. Using the laws of nature in combination with technology, holistic health is transforming personal and planetary health. In 1998, a national survey found that complementary and alternative health care users often have transformational health experiences that change their entire lifestyle. More and more research over the last 30 years supports the effectiveness of treating illness within the holistic or larger lifestyle context that includes life meaning, environment, and spirituality. Fortunately, holistic approaches are becoming more recognized in medical health programs and are more available in insurances and alternative payment plans. These approaches include herbals, chiropractic, homeopathy, acupuncture, music and art therapies, Ayurvedic medicines, massage and body therapies, energy medicines, and other medicinal systems that work in harmony with nature's laws of healing. I'm your host, Halima Christie. Each week on Sage Health on Call at KUNM, one of our seven co-hosts joins me to speak with leaders in complementary and holistic health systems. Our co-host today, who has been with us for 3 years, is Robin Tawney, counselor, body worker, Tai Chi instructor, and teacher at the New Mexico School of Natural Therapeutics here in Albuquerque. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Halima.
Our guest today is Dr. Stephen Weiss, MD, and the topic is homeopathy and classical homeopathy at that. Dr. Weiss is a board-certified family doctor with a private practice in holistic and integrative medicine here in Albuquerque. He has studied and uses several complementary health modalities, including nutrition, herbal medicines, and classical homeopathy. Dr. Weiss is also a regular co-host on Sage Health on Call. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, Halima. Hi, Robin.
Good morning, Steve. What I'd like to begin with is just a definition of homeopathy. I think a lot of people have heard about it, but might not know exactly what homeopathy is.
Okay, I'll start with that. Homeopathy is a complete system of healing and medicine that originated in the late 18th century, early 19th century, by Samuel Hahnemann. And it's based on the law of similars, that like will be cured by like, which means that if you give a healthy person a homeopathic medicinal substance, which originates from either an animal, vegetable, or mineral substance, usually there's other substances rarely that are used as homeopathic remedies, these substances create a set of symptoms in the healthy person. And those very symptoms are the symptoms that that remedy can actually cure when a sick person presents with them.
So one of the main differences, it seems, is that homeopathy, you're giving a substance that in a healthy person is going to produce the same kinds of symptoms, whereas conventional medicine does exactly the opposite, correct?
Yes, that's true. For the most part, Western or allopathic medicine is focused on eliminating or suppressing the particular symptom, as opposed to giving something that would actually create that symptom in a healthy person.
I think that's why it's very difficult for most people in this culture to have an understanding of what homeopathy is, because we're so conditioned to look at symptoms as something we want to suppress.
That's true. Homeopathy is a bit of an enigma. It's not something that is understood at first glance. And there's many paradoxes in homeopathy, and that's perhaps one of the things that has made it somewhat fringe, actually, at this point. Although it is gaining in popularity by leaps and bounds, because many people can't understand it. Yet there are many, many things in this world and in this universe that are not completely understood by the human mind. And that's one of the things that I actually like so much about homeopathy, is that it parallels in many ways the mysteries of the universe. And even though we don't understand exactly how it works, and we don't, we know through our clinical practice and through numerous double-blind studies that it does work. And so the why is less important, as the why that it works is much less important than the fact that it actually does create sometimes remarkable improvements in people's health.
The irony, too, about homeopathy in America is that at one time in America's history, there were more homeopathic medical schools than there were actually what we now call conventional medical schools. So it was a very prominent type of medicine in the United States for quite a while.
Yes, it was.
Yes. So it has a strong history here, and in fact, it's homeopathic remedies are protected by Congress, correct?
Yes, they are.
Fortunately.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Yes. How do you incorporate it into your practice, and when did you first discover its benefits? I mean, you're a conventional, were trained as a conventional MD, and then came to homeopathy, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. Well, my journey with homeopathy began back in about more than 20 years ago when I was living in Switzerland. I grew up, spent half of my childhood in Switzerland, and I actually was suffering from fatigue that was unexplained, and it was quite debilitating. In fact, I was able to get through college, but it was very difficult, and I went to conventional doctors and really got no help. I was told that I was fine and that there was nothing they could do for me, and so that sort of began my search. And I went to yoga and began doing yoga and found meditation, and became involved with a group in Geneva, Switzerland, a meditation group. And they were based in England, and they were teaching the members and the teachers in that organization were many of them were classical homeopaths, and they taught me a great deal about holism and holistic lifestyle and holistic health, including acupuncture, and they were into that, and I learned some about that. But I decided to go seek treatment in England from a homeopath, and I actually did was helped very much through that treatment. That was my first introduction, and then I went to India actually as part of a rotation in my third year of medical school at University of Maryland, and while I was there, I happened to come to find an Indian homeopath who took me under his wing and shared much of his knowledge with me and took me to the local bookstore and I bought several books, and they stood on the shelf back in the United States for many years as I finished my med school and residency, and then eventually through the American Holistic Medical Association, one of my friends there had been studying homeopathy and became enamored by it, and from one year to the next, I saw a real shift in her, and she urged me to study homeopathy, and I did. That was about 10 years ago, and that's how I got into it.
And you've recently completed some advanced training in homeopathy.
Yes, I have. I just completed about a month ago the Dynamis School for Advanced Homeopathic Studies, which was a fantastic, probably the best educational experience of my life. It's a school that's run by a world-renowned homeopath, Jeremy Scherer, who's located in England and who flew to Denver every 4 months for the last 3.5 years. And we met three times a year with people from all over the country. And it was truly, it deepened my understanding of this science, and has also made a great impact on my practice and my ability to help patients.
So I assume part of the training included case consultations.
Yes, in fact, Jeremy actually, the students were asked to bring patients to the class that whom they hadn't, you know, who needed additional assistance, and Jeremy took their cases in front of the class, and we followed for some of them for 3 or 4 years, their progress through with classical homeopathy, and many wonderful results. We saw many improvements.
Now, a lot of people, because of the culture's predominance of conventional medicine, thinks of complementary alternative medicine like homeopathy as something you only use as a last resort. You know, these are the people who have terminal cancer and nothing else is done, and then they go to alternative medicines. in some of the case studies that you know of or have had in your practice, how is homeopathy used for what we would normally think of fairly run-of-the-mill kinds of difficulties that people have?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that view of homeopathy or of alternative and complementary medicine is really not a correct view. I mean, it's true that oftentimes we do get patients that frequently have not had good results with other modalities, and so even though that's true, it's a misperception, because homeopathy, for example, can help such a wide range of patients and conditions, and in fact that's where it works best. It definitely can run of the mill problems. I've helped patients with ear infections, headaches, depression, anxiety, gastrointestinal complaints, skin disease. I mean, it really is. It can be used in family practice and to treat a very wide range of common ailments, and that's where it works best. Because of course, if the person is on their deathbed or is so sick that death is imminent, oftentimes, you know, even though complementary medicine can help and sometimes does bring these patients back, that's not where it excels. It excels best in day-to-day, everyday ailments.
And it's not with just one population or age or type of illness. It spans the entire lifespan.
Absolutely.
The ear infections can be in an infant, for example.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's in fact, because the medicine is so much safer than conventional medicine, it's very amenable to treatment of pregnant women, of babies, infants, and geriatric patients as well, of any age. And even animals are treated successfully with homeopathy, although I don't treat them in my practice, but there are homeopathic vets that do that. So it really can help anybody.
Just a reminder that you're listening to 89.9 FM, and we have some calendar events that we want to let you know before returning to our guest, Dr. Stephen Wise, who will be talking about homeopathy.
Okay, Robin, let's also talk about the holistic health news here. We found that a recent study found that exposure to organic household solvents was associated with elevated risks of childhood leukemia. Among them were model building and artwork solvents and homes painted extensively in the year before children's births. And this is startling information, because many women know that we all get the urge to repaint our house in the last trimester of pregnancy. So be sure and check that out. Also, a campaign has been launched to add water coolers to a UK school district. Studies have found that children who are dehydrated, and this may apply to some children here in this area, have decreased concentration and do not work as well in the classroom as those who have had the recommended 8 glasses of water, or at least 6 to 8 glasses of water a day.
You're right, Alima. It's so important, especially in a climate like New Mexico. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Wise, family practice MD and a homeopath with a private practice here in Albuquerque. And we were talking about the safety of homeopathic remedies. Why exactly are they safer? How are they safe as opposed to conventional drugs?
Well, the reason stems from the way the homeopathic medicines are produced. Samuel Hahnemann, back in the early 1800s, was a conventional physician in Germany, and at that time the medicines that were being used in conventional medicine were things like arsenic and mercury and very, very toxic substances, and he was disgusted really with the side effects and the often devastating effects of these medicines, and he was so upset by it that he actually quit practicing medicine. He felt he couldn't in good conscience give these things to people. He was a firm believer of the Hippocratic Oath and do no harm. So he went about looking for ways to help patients without harming them, or certainly to reduce any harm that could come to them. And he began to dilute his medicine his homeopathic medicines after he discovered, or actually rediscovered, because it had been discussed even as the law of similars, of like will be cured by like, is not originated by Hahnemann, but it was rediscovered by him. He began to dilute his remedies more and more, and then administer them to patients to see if, you know, how much he could diminish their toxic properties while still retaining their curative properties. And his amazing discovery, which is very controversial in, or it's very difficult to believe or understand by conventional medicine, is that he could continue to dilute these medicines beyond there being even a single molecule of the original substance in the remedy, and still get very curative effects of these remedies. Some people have said that the remedy gets more potent as it's diluted, although that's not necessarily true. The potency does not necessarily increase, but they do retain their medicinal properties, and therefore, because there's none of the original substance left, they do not create direct toxic effects on the body, especially when you get up to the dilutions above 12 C, which we can discuss what that means if you'd like, but what the meanings of these dilutions are.
Well, I think it's more important that we talk about the fact that the side effects are nil, because it works in a very different way, and by promoting quickening part of the body's natural healing mechanisms, correct?
Yes, that's how we believe they work. Again, the exact mechanism of action is not really understood, but the theory is that it's almost like the healing property of the medicine is released through what we call potentization, which is that the medicine is diluted and succussed, which is shaken. Each substance, be it, you know, mineral, vegetable, or animal, is initially brought and then diluted through this, you know, usually one part of the original substance to either 9 parts of water and alcohol or 99 parts of water and alcohol, and then that is shaken vigorously, and that's the first dilution, and then that's continued to very, very high dilutions, and through this process the toxic effects are either greatly diminished or eliminated.
One of the aspects about homeopathy that makes it very accessible and very, well, literally affordable, is that these provings on that people have done on these medicines have been done for over generations and generations, and these medicines are not enormously expensive, are they?
No, they're very reasonably priced, and that is, yes, makes them extremely accessible and affordable. The medicines themselves are affordable to virtually anyone in society. The treatment, the actual consultation, is where the fee is somewhat higher, because we spend as much as, I usually spend 2 hours with a new patient going over their entire history, mental, emotional, and physical. So I go into great detail about every aspect of their health, and also their personality, their aversions and desires as far as food or weather. And so it's extremely individualized medicine. And we find that patients who, for example, might have the same diagnosis, ten people with the same diagnosis, such as a pneumonia, would often get 10 different remedies based on their personality, how the disease manifests in that person in terms of, for example, is what color the sputum is or the phlegm, whether they're short of breath, whether they're better lying or sitting. So we get we go into incredible detail, really, and then we're able to match that picture, that symptom picture, that of that individual with a remedy that most closely matches that picture. And the interesting thing that I learned through the Dynamo School is that we not only do we try to match symptoms, but we go With homeopathy, you can go to deeper and deeper levels of the individual and of the remedy. So we can look at some very unique aspects of that relate to the person's speech, what the kinds of words they use in their speech, as opposed to other patients, the expressions that they use. This will key me or tip me off to a remedy during approving, those patients will actually come up with similar expressions, or for example, we're interested Jeremy's school is called the Dynamis School of Homeopathic Studies. Dynamic. Life is dynamic. It's movement. Constant flux. Death is stasis or lack of movement. And so a homeopathic remedy, we believe that as we dilute these remedies more and more, we're accessing a dynamic, it's almost like the power of the atom bomb. As you go to the most to the core of an atom, you reach the most powerful, energetic part of that substance. And I really do believe, as I've studied it more and more, that that's what's happening. We're releasing a primal, extremely powerful energy from each substance, and we can then match that to the patient, and it can catalyze a profound shift in their overall health.
So this really can work on a constitutional basis, so to speak, where it's not just this particular cold, this particular episode of illness. It is all of the factors that have perhaps led up to this, and it may be even multi-generational.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I've just treated a patient with multi-generational issues and used a homeopathic remedy, actually plutonium, that Jeremy Scher, my teacher, proved. What Jeremy's biggest gift to the world is that he rediscovered provings. There had been no provings done on a systematic scale for about 100 years, and then Jeremy Scher decided to reopen this chapter, and he has now proved approximately 20 homeopathic remedies, and plutonium is one of them, and it deals with ancestral issues that span generations.
In approving, as I understand it, means like a proving ground, a testing, so to speak, where a person takes the remedy and then reports in incredibly minute detail everything they feel and experience during this process. So this can be recorded.
Yes.
And then this becomes a reference for the homeopath?
Yes,
for
exactly.
For future prescribing.
Exactly. Yes. And usually, in fact, one of the most exciting aspects of this class was that we performed a proving, which is now available as a homeopathic remedy to homeopaths around the world, and this was a proving of the damselfly, Coleopteryx splendens, and half of the class was given the remedy, a few people were given placebo, and then the other half were supervisors that were helping to. Each prover was matched one-on-one with a supervisor. I happened to be a supervisor for this, but I worked very closely with somebody who took the remedy. And yes, the person is what we do is we take a homeopathic history before they take the remedy, so we know what their baseline is. And then they take the remedy, and then they write down exactly what you said, Robin, that they keep very close track of these symptoms. And then we get together as a class. We got together as a class, and all the symptoms of all the provers were compiled. And then from that, we see incredible themes and how different several patients who took this remedy had identical or very similar symptoms, and how they relate to the animal. The dragonfly is mind-boggling, literally. I mean, and it was of course double blind, so we did not know what we were taking until the end of the proving. So again, it was truly an eye-opening experience, and one that really has transformed me and the rest of the class.
One of the usual criticisms or comments about homeopathy is that it's just producing a placebo effect, And so this seems to certainly disprove that, as well as what you talked about, that there are veterinarians who use homeopathy, you know, on animals.
Yes. So. Well, there's a fascinating study about homeopathy, which was published in The Lancet, which is one of the biggest medical, you know, conventional medical journals in the country, which talked about, is homeopathy placebo? And what they did was they took allergens, things like pollens, and they diluted them beyond what we call beyond Avogadro's number, so that there could not be a single molecule of the substance left in the remedy. And then they tested the hypothesis, was homeopathy different from placebo? And in fact, the study was very, very convincing, and there was a very high level of accuracy in or likelihood that this was not due to chance, shall we say. It was one in the likelihood that homeopathy did not, you know, that the effects seen in the study were due to chance and not due to the remedy, was 1 in 10,000. So it was extremely strong study that using these homeopathically diluted allergens had a positive effect on patients with allergies. This is not true homeopathy. It's called isopathy because it's using the actual substance that produces the symptoms. It's actually using the very substance that produces symptoms for the study. That's called isopathy, but it's still the same principles in that it's diluted to such an extent that there's not a single molecule of the original substance left.
So in terms of your practice, how you would begin with an extensive consultation, and that initial expense, though, is balanced out, as you said, by the relatively minuscule cost of the actual medicine itself.
Absolutely.
Plus the benefit of that this is working at a level that is beyond just the symptoms.
Yes, that's true. I'd like to comment on what you just said, because that's really the beauty of classical homeopathy, which is what I practice, which is that it does not treat symptoms. It treats the patient, the individual, the whole person. And there really are very few treatment modalities or disciplines out there that will take the entire person into consideration as homeopathy does. And so we treat the individual, and by treating the whole, the individual parts also improve, all their individual symptoms of the skin or of the stomach or whatever it is. And not only that, but you're supporting their life energy, their life force, and so we've often see in homeopathy that after proper constitutional homeopathic treatment, that the person, they begin to blossom. That's really the best word. There's a blossoming. They're more in tune with their life's purpose. They make changes in their lives that they couldn't make, that were incapable of making before the remedy. They're happier. So there's a blossoming that happens as they become more in tune with their own purpose and with the universe, with their reason for being here and with the nature, all of it. So, yes. And as far as the cost is concerned, yes, that's exactly right. There's an initial investment, which the 2-hour office visit, which is a financial investment, but then the cost is greatly diminished over the period of year, you know, over time.
Is there a fairly large number of homeopaths in the Albuquerque, Santa Fe area that you're aware of? Or?
Well, I would say not a very large number, no. There's only a handful of us, actually, in these mm-hmm. two cities.
Well, we want to thank you, Stephen. We're very, very happy that you're with us today, because this has been a very great explanation of classical homeopathy, and we're very happy that you are practicing here in Albuquerque and part of our Sage Health on staff, on call staff as well. We also want to thank Robin for being with us today as co-host, and our KUNM engineers, Otiamba Umbi, and to our executive producer, Marcos Martinez, we give thanks as well. Next week's show, our guest is Barbara Dossey, RN and PhD. She has co-authored 22 books and is director of Holistic Nursing Consultants in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Her topic will be an integrative model of healthcare and nursing for the 21st century. My name is Halima Christie. Remember, take time to learn about the best health approaches available to care for yourself and your family, and collaborate with your primary care physician to experience the most effective health programs possible. Salud.